Let's talk soccer now. Big night for many, many different reasons. It's a big night for me because my team are at Hillsborough tonight playing Sheffield Wednesday in a crucial match. We won't talk about that. We're talking about Banyana. They're at Loftus tonight to try and reverse a 1-0 deficit from the first leg. Sundowns are playing their top versus bottom of the table clash at the moment in Cape Town. It's about to kick off. And of course, there's European soccer. Plenty of matches taking place and key ones at that. Arsenal against Bayern Munich and Real Madrid against Manchester City. We're going to try and preview as many of those as possible with Soccer Laduma international journalist and a man fast making his name as an excellent soccer reporter and very, very knowledgeable on so many different aspects of the game. Kamohelo Motechwane, what a pleasure to talk to you again tonight. Good evening.
Good evening to you and your listeners, Mr. Abramson. I appreciate the kind words. It's a pleasure to be on your show once again. Thank you.
Great pleasure. I believe you're at Loftus at the moment. So if that is the case, what is the atmosphere like and what is the crowd size like in terms of being the 12th player effectively tonight for Banyana?
Yeah. You know, it's not a packed Loftus festival, but I think the numbers that have arrived to support Banyana are definitely making their voices heard. You know, they just walked onto the pitch right now for kickoff. So, yeah, I think they're going to play their part in a big way. The supporters that are here to support the African champions. On their quest to Paris 2024.
So having a look at the team that's been announced, it looks fairly strong in terms of the personnel available, also a fairly strong bench that Coach Dez has available. Do you think that with the return of Refilwe Jane in the midfield, captaining the side, of course, giving her leadership expertise, you've got Jermaine Posenwe, who breaks all sorts of records up front with Khatlana, a fairly strong defence as well, Ramalepe on the right-hand side, and the side looks strong in various positions. Do you think it's critical for Banyana to start well tonight?
Yeah, it's going to be very, very imperative, you know, for the team to start well. As you alluded to, Refilwe Jane, her return to the team is going to be imperative, and is going to be the culminating factor in whether we win or lose. And she's a top player, you know, and we saw how much we missed her when she went down during the World Cup, you know. So yeah, I think it's a very strong team. Much of that starting 11 played at the World Cup in New Zealand and Australia. So away goals don't count, fortunately for South Africa, but I think they should be getting the job done. Nigeria, of course, record African champions, but Desiree Ellis knows how to get the job done, I think.
So just to clear that up, because there's been a lot of confusion, people have been messaging me throughout the day about the away goal situation. As you say, away goals don't count. So just clarify for us, what would happen if Banyana win this match 1-0, which would mean effectively it would be 1-1 on aggregate? Is it straight to penalties? Is there extra time? How does it work?
Yes. An extra time would ensue, and then essentially, yeah, penalties if nobody goes through nobody scores during the last 30 minutes. So yeah, that's essentially how the game will play out. Hopefully, we do not need to have to go through those roller coaster of emotions as South Africans and get the job done within the 90 minutes. You know, it's a tough ask, but yeah, it's very doable in my opinion.
Let me ask you another question that I've been asked, and I wasn't 100% sure of the answer, but I thought, you know, while we're chatting to you, I'm sure you will know it or be able to find it out for us. In terms of this particular double leg between Nigeria and South Africa, direct shootout, the winner goes to the Olympics, the loser doesn't. How is it determined that Nigeria would play their home leg first? Was that according to how qualification worked out, or was there a coin toss, or what happened that South Africa have got the advantage of playing the home leg second?
I would like to assume that it's the fact that, you know, although we missed out on the last Olympics, we are the reigning African champions. So I guess if we're going by rank and superiority within the team, that will be my educated assumption as to why we allotted the first leg away, and then we get the return leg at home. It makes the most logical sense.
Right.
Yeah, you know, as champions, we get preference. So, yeah, once I get a definitive answer, for sure, I'll be sure to let you know.
Okay, perfect. It's just a question I've been asked, and I must be honest, I didn't know exactly the answer. I assumed it was something to do with seedings, but mm-hmm. I wasn't 100% sure if it was a coin toss or if there was a seeding situation coming in. Also, there was rugby this weekend. The Bulls played at Loftus. They won 59-19 on the weekend. So I want to ask you, what does the pitch look like? Is it in decent condition after that rugby match, and particularly after all the rain that they've had? What's the surface looking like tonight?
Yeah. So Pretoria has been seeing heavy showers over the past couple of days. But The pitch looks immaculate. I don't want to lie, Mr. Abramson. You couldn't tell that there's been a lot of rain and an 80-minute rugby match that was played just a couple of days ago. So yeah, it looks fantastic, and you know, world class pitches for some of the best teams on the continent. They deserve to be playing on quality pitches, you know, and in a quality stadium. And I'm glad Safa were able to organize such a beautiful venue and such beautiful conditions for the champions of Africa.
And the weather has remarkably cleared as the day went on. It just got clearer and clearer, so it augurs well, I suppose, for a good match. I'm just looking at television pictures from the ground. Looks as if there are quite a few people in the main stand on the western side of the stadium, not as many around the rest of the ground. What would you put the crowd at the moment?
If we're saying that Loftus is about 50K, I'd say there is about maybe just about 20K people here. Just about. Okay. Yeah. So the other, like as you said, the western stand is the one that's more packed. The viewers at home obviously can't see that side. What they can see are the Nigerian supporters, and they aren't that many. But on where we have the media are and where everybody else is, yeah, this is definitely numbers this side.
What does your gut feel tell you about tonight? Such a crucial game for the country, as you say, WAFCON champions that we're talking about, champions on the continent. To have them at the Olympics would be amazing, but effectively a draw is good enough for the Super Eagles.
Yeah. The pressure is on South Africa, essentially. But, you know, I don't want to, not to bash our national team, our men's national team either, but, you know, with the Banyana, it's much, you know, the superiority they've been over the last couple of years under Desiree Ellis. They've been under high pressure situations. You know, they've seen it all, Olympics, World Cups, knockout stages of World Cups, you know, hostile WAFCON final environments, you know what I mean? And they've seen it all, and they've made it through those, and they've made it through those conditions. So at home, on a perfect pitch, and in a boisterous, you know, Loftus crowd, I don't see it going any other way, but a Banyana win, excuse my bias, but yeah, you know, we have quality players. A lot of the team made it to the knockout stages of the World Cup, so they're playing. And I think that although they lost in Abuja, as you'd expect, you know, being the away team, I think today they should be getting the business done. But yeah, like we said, Nigeria is a strong team. It's a strong team and have quality players that play across the world. Ashwana, these are top players. So yeah, they should not be taken lightly. But you know, I believe in the girls.
I know you're a man who keeps his eye on the pulse. I can tell you they've just kicked off at Loftus, so South Africa playing in their familiar yellow colours against the Nigerians tonight. We'll let you know if any goals do happen to go in there. Just before we get to tonight's Champions League action, just a couple of other pointers on international football that I'd like to ask you about. That came up yesterday. We heard the news that Everton were going to be docked two further points in addition to the points that have already been docked this season. And the Cristiano Ronaldo incident last night. Just want to get your take on each of those.
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate that these lower Premier League clubs are not able to spend the same way that the bigger sides are. We know with FFP and how it works, it's very delicate how teams definitely manage their spending. But yeah, it's just a shame. The likes of Nottingham Forest and Everton have to find a way of being competitive, and that's essentially buying through the market. But yeah, because they don't generate that much money from a commercial standpoint, it's quite difficult for them to be in that range of FFP, you know, eligibility. So yeah, it's unfortunate. It's a shame because Everton are actually a good team under Sean Dyche, you know what I mean? So I'm happy to see them play, but yeah, it just made their job a whole lot tougher as far as getting out of the staying in the Premier League is concerned. And then Ronaldo. I don't know. Ever since he's gone to Saudi Arabia, he seems a bit more volatile. You know what I mean? Like very animated. You know, he's always been a player that's shown a lot of emotion, but now it seems to be coming out in a kind of a different way. You know, in an unpleasant way. You know, and it's a shame. You know, seeing arguably one of the greatest players ever do. You know, for all the goals that he scored and he's still scoring in Saudi Arabia. It's a shame that you know he behaves in this way towards officials and stuff. So, yeah, it's a shame. Both situations are unfortunate. But yeah, I think definitely in his case, like he definitely needs to rein it in a bit because he's the captain at the end of the day and he's the poster boy for the Saudi Pro League. And you know, it's not a good look when your most marquee player is kind of, you know, undermining the officials and kind of what happens in the league. So he definitely needs to rein it in my opinion. But yeah, that's just my general feel on it.
All right, let's move to the international setup, particularly tonight. Champions League action, a place in the semi-finals up for grabs. Two matches, of course, tomorrow night as well. But tonight it's all about the English clubs, effectively. Arsenal and Man City are involved in a terrific three-way contest for the league title, just 1 point separating themselves and Liverpool, and very, very tight. All teams have played 31 matches, so that's going to be a thrill-a-minute run-in. But Arsenal tonight hosting Bayern Munich, Manchester City at Real Madrid. Key matches, lots of revenge matches. The sides have played each other a number of times before. Just give us your take on the matches and what we can look out for.
Yeah, starting with Real Madrid and Man City. Obviously, a repeat of the quarterfinal of 21-22 and last season semifinal. So there's quite a lot of recent history there, and I guess animus in a way. Carlo Ancelotti and Pep Guardiola will have sussed each other out pretty well at this stage, you know. And you know, I'm going to give Real Madrid the slight advantage. I know City have been imperious in the league, but for as good as they've been, I feel like they're quite leaky at the back for as good as they are, you know. I think this Palace game this past weekend, you know, the goals they conceded were quite sloppy in my opinion. And, you know, these are things that I think Real Madrid could take advantage of, you know. Rudiger and whoever will partner him, you know, they have pacey centre-backs essentially. So when Haaland doesn't have really have space to run into behind or have centre-backs that can kind of track with him, he becomes very ineffective in a way. You know, we see the way he played against Arsenal, and I think the Real Madrid centre-backs have a similar sort of attributes. I read today that Florentino Perez requested that the stadium be closed, so I think that Santiago Bernabeu atmosphere is going to be insane. So yeah, it's going to be very hard for, in my opinion, for City to get a result. But if a team were to go to Bernabeu and get it, it would be City. But I'd give Real Madrid the slight advantage. With regards to Arsenal and Bayern, that's an even closer one to call, because, you know, for as good as Arsenal have been in the league and for as bad as Bayern have been in there in the Bundesliga, this is the Champions League, and tournament football is a totally different proposition. And, you know, the history of the competition always shines through for these clubs, especially when you speak about the likes of Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. So, yeah, you know, for as bad of a time they're having in the league, they'll be more than ready to be up for the game in North London, especially Harry Kane. You know, he has a tremendous record against Arsenal, especially at the Emirates. You know, he just has a knack of scoring whenever, penalties, brilliant strikes, whatever you name it, he'll be there. And I'm sure against Bayern, he'll be looking to continue that streak. But this is a different Arsenal team. This is not the Arsenal team that lost 10 to an aggregate in their last time in the Champions League. You know, they seem more rigid at the back. They seem like they have a different mentality, you know. And the ability to keep clean sheets is a testament to that. They have the most clean, they have the best defensive record in the Premier League. And I think that, you know, if there's a time for that to be brought to the fore, it'll be tonight. So I definitely, it's hard to call, but I'll give Arsenal also the slight advantage. So a Spanish win, a La Liga win, and then one Premier League win tonight, in my opinion.
It's fascinating. We'll see how that all plays out. Just finally, if we look tomorrow night's matches, of course, Atletico Madrid against Borussia Dortmund and PSG against Barcelona, which means, effectively, if you look at the eight sides who've made it through, two from England, three from Spain, you've got PSG from France, of course, and two German sides. So only really four countries represented in the last eight. No Italian sides, for example. Some of the other big powerhouses on the continent not represented at all. And just four countries providing the eight quarterfinals. What do you put that down to?
Yeah, you know, these leagues generally produce the best quality teams, the best quality players. They just have a knack of winning all the biggest trophies. You know, it's very rarely where you hear Eredivisie side do well or a team from Portugal doing well in the Champions League, or, you know what I mean, or these smaller leagues, I'd say. So I guess the tradition of being prominent in the Champions League is something that shines through and is becoming, and the gap, in my opinion, is getting bigger and bigger, you know. The teams that spend a lot and that have been traditionally the bigger teams are making that gap even bigger, because, as you alluded to, these are teams outside of Arsenal, and I guess, but I'd say, yeah, outside of Arsenal, these are teams that are generally in the latter stage of the Champions League, you know. And yeah, for me, I don't know if it's a good thing for football, but I guess it is what it is, you know. these five leagues, the league are the Bundesliga, Premier League, and La Liga. Essentially, they have a monopoly on European football, and I guess you throw Serie A. Although ever since the Calciopoli scandal in the mid-2000s, Serie A teams haven't really been that good. But I definitely think that, you know, it'll be this way. It'll continue to be this way. I don't know. UEFA needs to do something to equalize the playing field, in my opinion. But yeah, traditionally, I just think it's just a matter of history and just being able to produce teams that know how to do well in these competitions, for sure.
Okay, let me ask you a question just finally. It doesn't have a right answer. So, I mean, it doesn't have a wrong answer, rather. So all you can do is be right. You don't need to give me an explanation, just on gut feel, because I know your gut feel is better than most. In the Premier League in England, who wins it out of the three?
Arsenal.
Okay.
I'll give you an explanation. I know you didn't ask one, but just to clarify, I think although they have the tougher run of fixtures, just the fact that they've been able to show a versatility in how to win games. You know, they don't always have to play pretty. They don't always have to play some free-flowing stuff. They can grind out results. You know, we saw against Man City, they left a draw. They left with a draw. And although they came out in the media and said, you know what, like, we were gunning for a win, I think they would have been pleased with a draw at the Etihad, you know. They're the only team to have beaten their respective rivals. So they've beaten City, they've beaten Liverpool at home. None of the other teams have been able to beat Arsenal this season. So in my opinion, and just looking at the way the season's going, you know, I put my money on Arsenal. Of course, you never know with City. That would be the team I think would rival Arsenal to the championship, and the team I think wouldn't be a surprise if they made it four consecutive Premier Leagues in a row.
All right, I'm making notes of the answers you're giving me, and then I'm sure you're going to get some of them right. Then just finally, in terms of the championship, the league that I'm most interested in, who goes up automatically of Leicester, Leeds and Ipswich? Because that's also a terrific three-way battle at the top of the league.
Yeah, I'd say that's even tougher to call, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, Southampton have been impressive of late. But I'd like to think, if I had to put my gut feeling on it, I'd say Leicester and Leeds. Just Leeds, because Daniel Farker, he knows the Premier League, he knows the Championship. He's built up quite a youthful side that's playing well. Leicester have quality, so Premier League level quality. So I think those would be the two teams, and then hopefully for you, Norwich are able to win the playoffs.
Well, they've first got to get there, because I would also say Leicester and Leeds, by the way, so I'm totally in agreement with you. All right, final question, key one. Who wins tonight at Hillsborough? Sheffield Wednesday, second from bottom in the table against Norwich, chasing that sixth spot in their promotion stakes. That's a game I'm fascinated by. What does your gut feel tell you about that?
I'd say Norwich, of course.
They're
the higher team, and I want to be back on the show, Mr. Abrams. So I'll go
Norwich. You will.
But when they aren't in good form, they haven't been in good form ever since they've been promoted. So yeah, it's quite difficult for them to. I don't see them winning the game, essentially.
All right, thank you so much for that. Just an update at Loftus. Is it still 0-0?
Yes, still 0-0 at Loftus. Yeah, Bayana definitely the most threatening.
Fantastic. Great to hear that. Thanks so much, as always, for your contributions on our show. We really do appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the football. Let's hope it's a good night for Banyana.